Well, good morning to all of you who were fortunate to get on and to hang on and to persevere to try to be on, and appreciate it. Most of all, I know the Lord does. And it just reminds me of what's going on this morning is that old 50s song that the Everly Brothers sang, problems, problems, problems all day long. I guess that any of us that remember that, it kind of dates us, but, what I want to share this morning is the title of Safe at Home. If you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do, open up to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20, and in a little while we'll get there to that chapter. But before we begin there, I want to start out by sharing a story that I've shared before that some of you may remember hearing before. It's about a young child in bed and at night, and a storm comes up, and the lightning's crashing, and the thunder, and the rain, and the wind. And, well, first of all, that's not the story I wanted to tell. I'm sorry. This is another story. I'll get to that one in a minute. This is a story about a little boy who lost his sweater. He's sitting in class, and as the bell rang, his classmates get up and they leave. And Johnny remained seated, and he was very distressed, and he was weeping. And his teacher looked up and saw him sitting there by himself, crying, and she says, Johnny, what's the matter? And he says, my mother told me not to lose my sweater, and if I do, don't come home without it. Where do big people go when they lose their sweater, or lose their job, or lose their spouse in death or divorce, or lose a child? Where they turn to when their bottom drops out? Who do we call when we pick up the phone? I suppose most of us have family, a spouse, or a dear friend to turn to. And what kind of help might they offer? But not everyone is so fortunate. So where do you turn when people to, what do you turn people when they say to you, I don't have family, or at least not one that cares. Or my spouse, whom I've loved and trusted for many, many years, has just up and left me for someone else. And people I've trusted at work are no longer in my life because I lost my job. And we might tell them, well, you need God in your life. But you see, it may be difficult to give them any real tangible understanding of how that's possible. And so I want to share the story that I started out to share is about that little child in bed in the middle of the night, wakening, frightened by the storm. And he runs to his parents' room, and his mom is awake, laying there. And he says, Mommy, Mommy. And she says, what is it, honey? Don't be careful not be too loud because Daddy's had a hard day and he's got to work again tomorrow. We don't want to wake him up. He says, I'm scared. I'm frightened. That storm, it scares me. And she says, honey, it's okay. You can go back in your bed, into your room, because God is in there with you. And so he responds by saying, Mommy, can I stay here with Dad and you go in there with God? See, sometimes we need flesh and blood, especially when we don't yet understand faith and trust in God, as many in the world do not. So how do we provide for these urgent needs? And because tragically, many people turn to counterfeit alternatives like the neighborhood bar. I call it the world's church, and many attend there. I want you to listen to some striking comparisons or resemblance, if you will, of the neighborhood bar and the church. First of all, the bar is an invitation dispensing liquor instead of grace. Escape rather than reality. It's accepting and unshockable. You can tell people secrets because they usually won't tell others or they don't want to. And it flourishes because God put into the hearts of man, his people, the desire to know, to be known, to love, and to be loved. So many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few drinks. And I believe that God wants his church to be a place where people can go, not only when they understand they need the Lord and they have their life pretty much in order, but those who are beat, who are sunk, hurt, those where their bottom has fallen out. Not just a place where we pray and sing and take the Lord's Supper, but also a place like ER, an emergency room, caring for sinners in need of a cleansing blood of Jesus, and a place where they can come to and the doors are always open. Not everyone has family and a place to go like we do. God wants his church to be a place where people can trust and be cared for. So where do we go? Where do we turn them to when people lose a spouse? Or you realize you're an alcoholic and you need help, desperate help. Or you find out your son is a practicing homosexual. Or you lose your job, or your teenage daughter tells you that she's pregnant. Or you beat your child and you're ashamed and you're scared. Or you're hooked on drugs and you realize you need help. What people need is a shelter. You need a place of refuge, a family that cares. You need a place where you can be safe at home. But this is something that has to be done, of course, right, and it has to be proper in order to get God's forgiveness and mercy. And in proper order, it starts with obeying God's plan of salvation, not man's plan of salvation. It has to be people generally trying. But always keep in mind that we sometimes, as Christians, even fail and have to get back up. Fail like Peter did when he said, "Lord, I'll never forsake you." And Jesus said, "Oh, yes, you will." But people whose life is good and successful usually don't need to see the need of the Lord, but we know all people do. So now in Joshua, the 20th chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And I want you to see how God wanted the people of Israel to appoint 6 cities of refuge where people could run to when in distress, where they would tell the elders there the problem, and may see also how these cities are spread geographically, locations that were easily found. So we're going to read verses 1 through 4 in Joshua 20. And I'm going to be reading out of the American Standard Version. "Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, designate the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally without premeditation may flee there. And they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city in the state and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city with them and give him a place so that he may dwell among them. So now I want to share what I think are three characteristics that were true of these cities as I think compares to the Lord's church. And the first one is, it was an inviting fellowship. Have you ever visited a congregation that wasn't inviting? If you've traveled much and you were out of town and you visited a congregation to worship, you probably have run across a congregation that was not seemingly inviting. But history tells us that the roads here were cleared and marked well so people can find them. They were welcomed. Sometimes, you know, we don't see that in some congregations. We walk in and find that we are, well, other people come into our congregations and they might find that we are so in habit of what we do and orderly, but are we sensitive to those who never been there and may be hurting, especially those? Do we really do our best to welcome them and tell them that we are glad that they are here? I do see that at Dowagiac. I seen that at Current Road. I didn't see that as a problem at all in those congregations. But I have seen that in some that I visited, and I know many of you have too. Number two, these places were not only inviting, but also cleansing. And by this, I mean they had to state their case like a confession or cleansing. So before they would come in, it had to be known what was going on with them. And sometimes we have Christians who fall away in sin, or people that we don't know nothing about, and they want to be in some leadership role or used in some way, and there's no repentance on their part, like nothing ever was wrong in their life. And they walk back in and act like everything's okay. And, you know, we just sometimes don't follow up on that. Or maybe we have failed to teach the importance of repentance, those that have are Christians and fallen away. And I'm not talking about prying into their private life, but some background knowledge. Remember 1 chapter, verse 9 of 1 John. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, that references to God's people, Christians who had fallen away, needed to renew themselves. And so, if that isn't done, like it said in 1 John 1:9, we have no cleansing, no forgiveness of our sins. We remain lost, and we're still on the outside looking in. And maybe people who come in our assemblies may be afraid to let us know that they have a problem, because we act like we just got it all together and never sinned, maybe. So again, it has to be proper and according to God's instructions. Number three, it was an atmosphere of healing. And notice the last part of verse 4, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Don't just stick them back in some corner, but let them know and feel that they are a part of it. So as I come to near a close of this lesson, remember back then in Old Testament times, they were limited on what they could cleanse. But now in New Testament times, Christ's blood has the power to cleanse anything. So, well, anyway, I hope that this is helpful today in some way. And, you know, the term safe at home, I got to thinking about it. Maybe it has taken on another new meaning with this pandemic going on, you know, people feeling more safe at home. But we need to get out, and we need to get out at some point. And our lives will, you know, our lives will never be the same, will they? As we knew it just a few months ago. Some will be positive in a way that we might be more aware of our safety. And some things will be, I'm afraid, negative in a way that we will become more fearful with hugs and handshakes and socialness. Will not be quite like it used that we've always known it to be. And if so, how sad. But let us not forget faith, hope, and love. And at least when we get to heaven, then we will surely be safe at home. Because aren't Christians really a group of people in this life that are on their way home?